Blog Talk Radio.
Things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon, and thank God that we're here just another time. So we thank God for all of our listeners, knowing we were off for a little bit, but we're back in the saddle now. We thank God for all of our Blog Talk followers, all of our LinkedIn followers, our Facebook followers, and our Twitter followers and listeners. And we just... Good to be back. Just another day on Blog Talk Radio. Definitely is a blessing to be here. So we thank God, and we have been teaching on the Godhead. So we're back, and so it's good to be here. So as the psalmist says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." He goes on, say what? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So how he called them from the east and the west and the north and the south. They had no place to dwell in. They were in a solitary place. Hungry and thirsty, they cried unto the Lord. He heard them and saved them out of their troubles. And the psalmist goes on to say, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." So it's so good to be back on the air. And so God is good. So knowing that time is far spent, time is winding up. So it's good to be able to get back and get into the Word of the Lord. And I do that all the time. But as James says, what is your life? It's a vapor. It appears for a little time, then it vanishes away. So it's good, no matter what happens. So let hellhounds howl, let demons rage, all kinds of things are going on, but Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. So we're going to, once appointed unto men to die, and after this, the judgment. So thank God, just like Jesus made himself of no repetition, but he made himself, he was made in the likeness of men, fashioned himself as a man. So therefore, the Bible goes on to say, God highly exalted him, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, you got to have the Holy Ghost to be able to pick that up. Because the scripture says there's one God, one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. So in knowing sonship is a office. So reputation is what other people think of you. So sometimes you got to do things, you got to take care of yourself, because the devil is a thief. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And definitely he wants to destroy you. So sometimes it matters not. The devil just want to make a fool out of all of us. So you got to do what is best for you. And sometimes the devil can't have his way. You got to get out of there and do what you have to do. So it's like it was, we used to have fights when we were little, and sometimes people, they'd get out of there. They wouldn't fight. So that's what you got to do. As some people that I've dealt with over the years that I work with, it's sometimes you learn. You, like James said, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. So those kinds of people that we used to work with, you definitely have only few words to say to those kinds of individual. That's what wisdom would tell you to do. And so we know that the wrath of man doesn't work the righteousness of God. That's why James said, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. So there's a remedy for everything. And you got to do what's best for you. So just thank God for grace. Thank God for mercy. Amen. And then like Job says, and to man he saith, he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, he says, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is, one word, understanding. So sometimes we do have to depart from evil. So depends on what situation you are in. So you got to do what's best for you, because the devil just wants to make a fool out of you. I remember one time telling one pastor that I, at the church I was at, almost as long as I was at the very first church where I got saved at. And I went to him a couple times, 14 years under that pastorate. And so I was just letting him know about some things. And I didn't like the way some things happened to him, because of some things that were going on anyway. I remember making a statement. He made some statements. We both did. And so I said, I told him, I am not going to be pimped or hustled by nobody. So that's amazing. That was years ago when I made that statement. That still stands. So many things are going on in the world. And so we just thank God that we're for his new mercies. Everybody has a story, but it's like what Moses said to the children of Israel. He was so disgusted with them. So he said, if you will not do, therefore, he said, remember, your sin will find you out. So sometimes people are always trying to point the finger and point the fault at someone else, but they have an ulterior, that's the word. They have a motive that they, something that they want to do. But one thing about it, we can fool one another. So it behooves us to do right and be real. And that's what I've always tried to do. Hey, if you messed up, you messed up. You can say you were wrong, you know. Get it right. But the whole point is, sometimes people are always wanting to point the finger at someone else, and like, you got to realize that it's you. And that's what it's, people are selfish when it comes to that. That song that said, "It's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer." So I know I need him. Can't make it without him. So I thank God for his grace. Thank God for his mercy. Okay, and also, I'd like to give out our call-in number should you desire to call in, or should you have a question or a comment. You're definitely welcome. And the call-in number, 646-716-6566. That is 646-716-6566. 6566. So we just thank God that we are here just another time. So we God is right on time. Yes, he is an on time God. He's in time, and he is definitely on time. So we have been talking about the Godhead for a number of months. And truly, that is the message of the Bible, the one God, knowing that Jesus Christ came into the world, as the Apostle Paul said, to save sinners. And he went on to say, of whom I am chief. So we thank God for his faithfulness. So in due season, Christ died for the ungodly. And this is what the writer in the book of Romans said: scarcely for a righteous man will one even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So that, what a blessing. Thank God that he thought that much of us to give his life. Because definitely people are something else. So one thing about it, we can get by, but we're not going to get past God. So it behooves us to do what is right. So thank God for that. And so sometimes you got to get out of situations, like I said. You got to be, sometimes people throw off. I mean, the whole game from the devil and his imps, the whole hell game, is nothing but a mind game. So it's a psychological mind game. So people want to have their way. It's amazing how people can call other people selfish, but they are selfish. As my brother wrote a poem, and then this poem is documented too. I don't know where you can find it at, but the poem, this is some years ago. The poem was entitled "Me, Myself, and I." That sounds just like the devil. That's the way he was. I will do this, I will do that. That's why Jesus said he beheld Satan as lightning far from heaven. How did he behold him? Because he threw him out. So like I was just saying previously, when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. See, the sonship is an office. God is a spirit. A spirit don't have flesh and bone and blood. So that's why he made himself a body. So sacrifices and offerings thou wouldest, but a body thou hast prepared me. So that's why in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, and the Psalms, the 40th chapter, he said, lo, I come in the volume of the book is written of me to do thy will. So he had to make himself a body. So once in the end of the world, he appeared unto in the presence of God to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, the Hebrew writer says. And that's why he goes on to say, once appointed unto men to die, after this the judgment. So it doesn't matter. So this, we can look good all on the outside as people, and we do. But the point being, God don't look on the outward appearance. And this is what he said when Samuel the prophet came to Jesse's house to pick out a king after Saul had miserably failed God. So all he had his sons to pass by, and Samuel the prophet, God moving in him and on him, knew. Wait a minute, there's another one. Oh, yeah, he's out there taking care of the sheep. He was a ruddy one. He was a handsome one, actually, and that was David. So that says, God don't see as man seeth. Man looks on the outward appearance, the writer said, but God looks on the heart, in that particular scripture in the book of Samuel. So God looks on the heart. That's definitely what he does. So it doesn't matter. We can look all good and play the part and all that, but God sees our heart. So this is why you got to be honest. So the thing, and that's all, I always try to say, you can't go wrong doing right. because God is on your side. I mean, God, if God arises, I mean, he speaks, men live. He speaks, men die. So, I mean, there's no sense in us getting beside ourselves, but you want to be on his side. So this is why the Hebrew writer says, for the word of God is quick. That word quick means alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Talking about the word of God, piercing asunder to the dividing of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the intents of the heart. Talking about the word of God, this is Hebrews 4:12. He goes on to say, neither is there any creature that is not made manifest in his sight. For all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. So that's why in the multitude of the counselors there is safety. So we don't understand sometimes people's motive, but it will be revealed. The people can act one way and then days later change. But thank God he doesn't change on you. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Hebrews 13:8. So thank God that he does not change on us. He doesn't have an ulterior motive like people do. We say men, you know, there's times when the Bible talks about in the masculine gender, and it talks about wisdom, and it talks about understanding and things of that nature in the book of Proverbs, and it says, take hold of her. She is your life. So that's why understanding is so important. So you understand you're in danger, or you understand that people can lie on you, and you got to get away from that kind of situation. So sometimes people see things going on as far as trouble, and sometimes people gather together and get involved or get nosy, whatever we want to call it. But the thing you have to do, those kinds of situations, you get away. I see something getting ready to happen. Because nowadays, you never know. People start shooting and all that. Like I was talking to a school teacher the other day, and the school teacher was making mentions of the school teacher's a little bit older than me. So I said, yeah, that's amazing. We didn't have to worry about people having guns when we were in school. Maybe somebody might have a Slim Jim. That's a knife that they called a Slim Jim, the long blade knife they called a Slim Jim. Somebody might have one of those, but I can't imagine sitting in school with a thought in your mind that someone in class may have a gun. That did not cross our mind. But what times we are living in, we're living in perilous times. So all that's in the world is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. That's why First John 2:15, John the writer says, love not the world. We're going to get to our lesson. Neither the things that are in the world, all is in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. They are not of the Father, but of the world. He goes on to say, the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So it is amazing. I mean, we look, and sometimes people can look so innocent. It doesn't matter. Jesus said, it is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak, they are spirit, and they are life. So definitely we are corruptible. So that's why when it's corruptible, put on incorruption, this mortal put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. That's why the writer goes on to say, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. Thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he went on to say, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So this is, as we were taught, precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. You find that in the 28th chapter of Isaiah. That's so very important. Pay very close attention to repetition. So sometimes people, they're jealous. Oh, so-and-so quote a couple of scriptures or whatever. I mean, no, whatever your gift is. As Peter said, as every man received a gift, let him minister with the ability that God give it, that God may be glorified. So this is judgment work, is what we are doing. So the word is not going to return void. It's going to accomplish the thing which I sent it, the Lord said, and prosper, and that prosper that which I please, and accomplish that which I sent it to do. So this is the Lord's work. And I remember when I was little, I was a scary cat, and I've said that before. So there's no fear in love. Fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love, because perfect love casts out fear. Like I said, we can fool one another with our motives and all, but we are not going to get away when it comes to God. So, I was little. I remember one time one of my father's hunting buddies passed, and I remember my godfather passed. I think when my godfather passed, I didn't even go. I stayed in because we had just moved. I was 12 years old. I remember that. My father stopped by to view the body. I didn't go. I was such a scary cat. But I remember his hunting buddy who died. I saw him laying in a casket and the way that he had his hands or whatever. I couldn't sleep. So, but the point being, and I also remember a statement that my father made many years ago. I never really thought about it because I wasn't in church like I am now. And I remember he was saying, whoever it was, oh, they should have sure are put away nice. Because that's what people say, but God don't care about that. That body is going to, it's going to be eaten up by worms. Job said, he said, that I know that my Redeemer liveth. In the latter times, he shall stand on the earth. He said, and though my skin worms, Job said this, destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, who my eyes shall behold and not another. And he goes on to say, though my reins be consumed in me. So I think about that over the times. There are many people that I know, people that I went to school with, people that died in car crashes, people that died that were sick. You know, when you know what's going on, you understand what the Bible say. It don't matter how they looked. And I remember there are some people so messed up they couldn't even show them. I remember one sister that used to live next door to my family back in the 90s. She got ran over by a construction paver. So he couldn't even, her husband, I knew him, knew the children, my children knew them. They couldn't even show the body. So the point being, like Apostle Paul said, delivering such a one to Satan, talking about somebody who messed up in the Corinthian church, for the destruction of the flesh because somebody was having incest, he said that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. So that's the thing right there, our spirit. So we have a spirit and a soul. The soul is the emotional part. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. So too many times people are standing in the way of others. So like I've said, I'll say it again, and the worst sin in the whole wide world is not lying, is not stealing, is not murder, is not committing adultery, is not bearing false witness, is not, what they call it, I can't think of what they say, sowing discord. But the worst sin in the whole wide world is one word, unbelief. So some people think they're going to do what they want, and they're going through the pearly gates anyhow. Not so. And it first starts with me. You got to think. God, you can't play God. We can play one another. You can't play God. No, you want to be right. And so Jesus talks about hell more than he ever talks about heaven. One statement that he made, there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So anybody going to be there? Like in the earth, people do things and they'll have somebody there, oh, my homie, oh, this one and that one. If something happened to me, they're going to be hunting for somebody. I mean, all kinds of things happen. People are looking for someone else. I mean, things have happened to people. And like we said, we just found out of a killer we know that shot somebody, and they found him innocent, but he still was guilty. But God is not playing. You're not going to get away. So the point being is when we stand before God in the 20th chapter of Revelation, the books were open. The dead, and John said, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. They're going to be dead, going to be judged out of the things written in the books. And death and hell is going to be cast into the lake of fire. Whosoever name is not written in the book of life is going to be cast into the lake of fire. So the devil is so clever, he'll fool you. He won't even let you make sure that you've been born again. Job said, in the last days, saith God, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Young men shall see visions. Upon your servants and handmaids will I pour out of my spirit in those days. They shall prophesy. That word prophesy means preach. So when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you'll speak in another tongue or another language as the Spirit gives utterance. So there's only two things that are required. Repent, Peter preached, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So the devil is a big liar. He don't want you to not make sure you have the Holy Ghost. Initially, you will speak in another tongue or another language. But the chief thing, the most key thing, what you have to look for in a person who says they are saved, and that is fruit. You're looking for fruit. So if they've got the fruit of the Spirit, you ain't going to be fruit of the Spirit. You're not afraid to say good morning. Fruit of the Spirit, you're not angry and flying off the handle and hot-headed and bent all out of shape. But the fruit of the Spirit, you could bear some things. You've got some patience. So thank God for that. So thank you, Jesus, for your unspeakable gift. So we thank God for that. So like I said, we're still teaching about the Godhead. So we know that our love, our Lord has such a love for us. He loved us so much that he laid down his life for us. And so what a blessing that is. So I'm not going to have any ill feelings or aughts or grudges against people. I am mad at the devil. I am mad as hell at hell, because you got to realize the bottom of it is the devil. So the devil uses people. And look at the man, the mighty man of God, Elijah, calling down fire from heaven, destroying the prophets of Baal. The fire of the Lord licked up the offering, licked up water. Whoever heard of fire licking up water? That's what it did. But one woman had him on the run by the name of Jezebel. So he was saying he was jealous for the Lord. He was the only one left. God let him know, I got 7,000 knees, more than 7,000 have not bowed the knee under Baal nor kissed his image. So the devil is a liar. He's as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. As Job, in the book of Job, the Lord said, once cometh thou Satan, he said, from walking to and fro in the earth and up and down in it. So the devil is a real fool. He's a spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So he hates us all. So he wants to turn people one against another, just like Cain killed his brother Abel. So it's the same devil. He's a big fool, and he have people hating one another. But the killing part about it, all the people hating one another, and people that never get saved, and the people that's half-stepping and laying up with people that they're not married to, and just all kinds of things people are doing and lying. I mean, God will give you holy boldness to tell the truth. You ain't got to make up a lie because you don't want to hurt someone's feelings. But all the people, all the haters, some people say that some people don't like people. How stupid is that? Then so all of the haters and the adulterers and the liars and the whoremongers and all those people will be in the hell hole together in the lake of fire. So that's horrible. And like I used to say, I did prison ministry for 20 years. I virtually did women's ministry for 18 years, because we first started off, we did men's prison ministry, And we ended up with facilities that women were in. So I did virtually all the prison ministry that I did was women. So you in there, you are sacrificing your time. Pretty much it would be on Sundays most of the time to try to help somebody else out. You're not wasting time. You're gonna, and God sees that. So that's why in the 25th chapter of Matthew, when saw him that are sick and them in prison and minister to those and this one and that one. As much as you did it to the least of these, brethren, you did it unto me. And you didn't do it, you did it not unto me. So thank God for that. But the whole point being is I remember numbers of times saying, we got little sayings. People say, hell yes, or hell yeah. I mean, it sounds good, and it's, people laugh at that stuff. They be drinking or smoking dope or whatever like we used to do way back in the 70s. I got saved in 76. So these things we used to do, we thought it sound cool. But nobody in their right mind want to go to hell. Matthew 25 and 41, hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. So people talk stuff, but a lot of people, but it's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then you can't be afraid, because if you're doing right, who is he that will harm you? The scripture says, if you follow after that which is good. So you're going to take me to the edge of the cliff and put me on a headlock and throw me off? Oh, no, you ain't, because I'm getting out of there. I know you're going to destroy me, or you're going to kill me, devil. I'm getting away from you. And that's been my attitude for a long time. Like somebody said, you see the devil coming, you don't wait till he get there. When you see him coming, it's praying time. So it doesn't matter what people think. So sometimes things happen to people, they be saying, well, why did a person just get out of there? So then you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. So you got to do what you got to do. So thank God. So let not then, the Bible says, your good be evil spoken of. So it doesn't matter. You got to do the right thing. Some people think they're so slick, but God is going to pull the cover off. So as long as you're doing what's right, a child of God, that is all that matters. So this is what we are all about. This broadcast is dubbed Truth. So that's our endeavor, to try to help you as we have been helped. So today we want to, our lesson derives from St. John in the third chapter. So we're going to talk about the deity of Jesus. So we know as when we come on every week, we read, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's the same back in the book of Genesis, in the beginning God. And in the beginning, God is a divine testimony. There's only one witness on the stand. That is God himself. So we know when we read, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory. The glory is as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So John here, who the Baptist, who wrote, he bare witness of him and cried. That's a proclamation saying, this is he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And he's talking about Jesus, because remember, he came into his own received him not. Of his fullness have we received grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So he goes on, he makes a statement. No man has seen God at any time. Only the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. So what he's talking about is God in all his glory. Apostle Paul got a glimpse. He said, it was the glory was a brighter than the noonday sun. You can't look on him and live. Moses said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. He said, I'll pass by you. I'll set you in a rock, the cliff of a rock. I'll pass by you. No man can see my face and live. So he passed by in the 33rd chapter of Exodus, and he said, the Lord said, I will proclaim the name of the Lord. So, name of the Lord has never changed. So, he's got names down through the ages. And so, the New Testament name is Jesus. So, Jesus, Jehovah, and I believe it's in the 83rd Psalm, his name Jehovah. Jesus, Jehovah means, or Jesus means Jehovah has become our salvation. That's why the angel said, His name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So we go on here in here in the book of St. John, and they asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then, thou be not that Christ, nor Elijah, nor that prophet? This is John they were talking to, because he already had said that he must decrease and talked about Jesus must increase. John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose. And so he goes on. These things were done in Beth Habera, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John sees Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. You hear that? He's talking about Jesus, because he got the revelation of who he was. He was 6 months older than him. And I knew him not, that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. He didn't say it was a dove. He said, like a dove. And I knew him not. But he that said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. You imagine that? He baptized himself. He said, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending. That means coming down. And remaining on him. That means it didn't leave. Same as he which baptizeth, ETH, with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. And the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold the Lamb of God. In other words, look at him. Look at him. This is the Lamb of God. So what we want to talk about on today is about him ascending up to heaven. Nobody done that but the Lord. But we have to look at his position, what he is talking about when he makes that statement about that. So I'm just trying to lay a little foundation before I get there. So let's see. So I want to just try to use the time that I have. So Nathanael said unto him, could there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Well, let's see. I'll go up a little farther. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and said unto him, follow me. Now this is Jesus. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and said unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Remember? That's why he said this in the 24th chapter of Luke. All things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the Psalms and in the prophets concerning me. He made that statement. They thought he was a gardener after he rose from the dead and was on the earth 40 days, speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So Nathanael said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said unto him, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said of him, this is what he said of Nathanael, behold an Israelite indeed, in whom there is whom is no guile. Nathanael said unto him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Jesus said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? A question. Thou shalt see greater things than these. He said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see the heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. So we know we go on here. we just want to, there was a, the next, the, and the third day, there was a marriage in Cana, not a wedding, a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. Jesus said unto her, woman, what hath I to do with thee? My hour is not yet come. His mother said unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there six water pots of stone after the manner of purifying of the Jews, containing two or three firkins apiece. Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water. They filled them up to the brim. And he said unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and said unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine. When men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. Here's the key right here. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. So that is so very important. That was the beginning of miracles that Jesus done. So we want to draw your minds in on to where we our lesson is deriving from today in St. John, the third chapter. So there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, ruler of the Jews, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night. Said unto him, Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So this is what we're trying to let people know all the time. You got to be born again. A natural man don't receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. That's in 1 Corinthians 2 and 14. So you're not going to get this in your natural mind, but it comes by revelation. And that is true. Even in school, sometimes there's maybe some math, algebra, or geometry, some things everybody don't grasp a hold as quick as others in certain subjects. But when you get it, oh, I see. So to see is to understand. It's like a light goes off in your brain, because you don't see with your eyes. You see with your brain. Your eyes are the camera. So you see with your brain. So you see. You're not going to see this unless you are born again. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? What a legitimate question. He goes on to another part of that question. Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Of course, the answer is no. But Jesus didn't deal with that like that. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. So that's so very important right there, that statement that he just made. You're born naturally, you're a fleshly creature. You have a spirit in you, which is the spirit of life from God in you. The body without the spirit is dead. That's what you would call, like if somebody was born, stillborn, they were dead. They didn't have any spirit in them. That what we would call a woman miscarrying, they were called stillborn. They were dead. They didn't have the spirit in them, or the spirit of life is what we're talking about when you are born the first time. So he goes on to say, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Notice that, St. John 3 and 6. Letter clause, and that which is born of the Spirit, see that capital S, is spirit. So in other words, when you are born again, your spirit is born again. Your spirit is regenerated. You read in some of the other letters that the Apostle Paul, epistles or letters that were addressed to the churches. Because the letters are written to people that are already saved. That's not for the sinner or for the unbeliever or people that haven't been born again. You need to read the book of the Acts of the Apostles and see what they've done. That's why we're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself, being the chief cornerstone. We have dealt with that. So they wrote the job of an apostle. Firstly, there were eyewitnesses. Apostle Paul said, last of all, he's seen of me. There were eyewitnesses. Their job was to lay the foundation, write the New Testament scriptures. There were eyewitnesses. They wrote the New Testament scriptures, laid the foundation, wrote the New Testament scriptures, and died horrible deaths. So there are no apostles nowadays. So you can't get that. It's amazing, all these people to say they're apostles. And some people be critical. But I'm going to say what God says. I don't care who criticizes me. They don't have no crown or no eternal life to give me. They don't have a reward, that is, to give me. I have eternal life, having the Holy Ghost. I have the earnest of my inheritance. What I'm saying is people don't have no reward. People don't have a heaven or hell to put you in. So the point being, doctrine is so very important. Doctrine is simply teaching. God is not the author of confusion. God is not in all this drama that's going on. Some drama he let come, but God ain't in this drama. God is not in confusion. God is a God of order. That's why I said, let all things be done decently and in order. Sometimes people say, let all things be done decency and in order. No, let all things be done decent and in order. Ain't no divine order on earth. People be saying that. Everything's found in divine order. No, divine order is in heaven. He wants his will to be done in earth as it is in heaven, in earthly creatures. So anyway, we go on here talking about your spirit is what has to be born again. And I'm going to tell you, if people that talk like this, the devil, I can tell you the devil himself hates my guts, and he would take me out right today if he could. Because the truth, that's why Jesus says, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. So somebody got to have the gall, somebody got to have the backbone, somebody got to be undergirded and holy boldness to stand up and say what thus saith the Lord. And I tell you, and people don't realize, we're Savior of life unto life and death unto death. That's in also in the second book of the Corinthians. So the gospel comes to save, and the gospel is going to condemn some people. Some people stood away in the way of people and didn't believe God for themselves and stopped others from entering in. That's what the Pharisees done. See, you won't lift up a hand to help nobody else, a finger. You standing in the way. And that's what the Bible said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. And he goes on to say, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of the water to bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. He went on to say, but the ungodly are not so. They are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the sinner shall not stand in the congregation of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall, the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. I'm going to go on, that's in the first psalm, to get that part that I missed, just for to give the devil a black eye, because I missed that part. I'm going to bring that out. But see, we understand what we're saying and what the word of the Lord says. So you're blessed. You don't want to be standing in the way of sinners or none of that. So he goes on to say, "You shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so." That's the part I wanted to get. "But are like the chaff which the wind driveth away." That's the wheat and the chaff. That's the hull that holds the wheat in. And the chaff is light. If you throw it up in the wind, the chaff will blow away. That you separating the wheat from the chaff. So he goes on to say, "The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Some people have been doing foolishness for so long, they think they're bad. They think they're masters of stuff. But sometimes you mess with the wrong one. That's why Moses says, if you will not do so, remember, your sin will find you out. That's Numbers 32 and 23, the latter clause. He says, your sin will find you out. So people are always trying to shine the light, make the fault be with someone else sometimes. Like that one song says, things are not the same anytime the hunter gets captured by the game. So that can happen. So what measure you meet is going to be measured to you again. That's why he said, don't behold the beam that is the mote that's in your brother's eye. You don't realize you got a beam in your eye. A beam goes across. You blind, you can't see, is what he's saying. Get the beam out of your own eye. So in other words, see clear. Look at yourself. Then you'll be able to get the mote out of your brother's eye, saith Jesus. So very good things he said. So you get that beam out, you can see. Then you can help someone else get the mote out of your brother's eye. But he said, if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into the ditch. You got to have yourself together. You got to have the right attitude. So this is what we must endeavor to do. So he goes on here about that which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And he goes on, marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. I know our time is winding down, but I want to bring this on in. So he goes on here. This is the wind bloweth where it listeneth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whether it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. What happened? On the day of Pentecost, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them clothing, tongues, or divided, like as a fire, set upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues or other languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. So he goes on here. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel, or knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that which we do know and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And here's what I wanted to get to in the lesson on today. So this is Jesus talking in verse 13, St. John 3 and 13. And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Now imagine now, you know, in this conversation, he's still standing on earth talking to Nicodemus. No man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Remember, I told you, he's everywhere, here, now, there, God, can leave you, come to you, ain't going nowhere. He's everywhere and every place. He came to the disciples walking on the water in St. John, the 14th, 15th chapter. I mean, not St. John, Matthew, I think, 15. I know Mark 6 and John 6. The fourth watch of the night, Jesus sent them out and told them to go to the other side. They were out there toiling. Fourth watch of the night, which is about 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus saw them toiling. He came to them walking, the Bible said, on the sea. That's when Peter came out of it. Be you bid me to come. He said one word, come. Peter walked on the word to go to Jesus. So I tell you, he's everywhere, here, now, God. So he goes on here, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Let me say something right there. Sometimes people, they feel condemned, and they are condemned by your life. You have the Holy Ghost in you. That's condemning them. So I've heard, this is amazing. This has happened so many times to people. When a person will make a statement to another person that has the Holy Ghost, and they say, you think you better than everybody, or whatever, however they put it. And then I remember one my former pastor who took over after my father in the gospel passed. He said, I didn't say that. That was his boss saying that. But many of us have had that experience. That's people being, they're condemned. They feel bad. So your life is condemning them, and they make the statement, you think you better. They don't know what you think. They ain't in your head. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. See, there it is right there, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. And he goes on, everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So that's pretty much St. John, the third chapter, the first through the 21st verse, because we know our time has gotten away. So this is what we wanted to say. No man is ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't stop being God because he became a man. But when he became the suffering lamb, he was still God. When he walked the shores of Galilee, he still had all things upheld, as the Hebrew writer said, all things by the word of his power. He's in China. He's in the USA. He's in on the continent of Africa. He's in Asia. He's in Australia. He's everywhere. He's in Russia. He's everywhere and every place. So God bless you. We'll talk to you on next time. Thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. That is truthministry 5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory.